What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to episode 97 of More Wrestling's podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Morrison, joined with Zach for a recap episode of this past weekend's New York State Public High School Athletic Association's Wrestling Championships that happened in Albany. Zach, it was a great weekend. I am still recovering. How are you doing?
I'm going to go to sleep as soon as this is over.
Yeah, I mean, Sunday morning, I had breakfast at the Latham 76 Diner. Delicious place the last two years. Hit the road, had to work, you know, pretty much when I got home. I mean, it took a two-hour nap, but like still a little, like, I guess, hungover from a long weekend of wrestling, so to speak. You know, my little tired, but yeah, I'm ready to talk about some good wrestling. There was a lot of great wrestling to have. I mean, there was a lot of different people. I mean, a lot of different people from plenty of sections had reached out to me, whether I was at the arena or at some local establishments, and they're like, oh, like podcast episode, like, you know. And then of course people were like, yo, you're good. Some of the picks were right. Obviously, you know, we got some crap for some of our picks that were wrong, but you know, again, we're picks. And I didn't throw the AJ Ferrari or the splits and double birds at you. So, I mean, I took it in, you know, all good fun. But yeah, I really appreciate everybody that reached out and said, you know, good things about the podcast, and it's kind of why we do it. So yeah, I appreciate everyone listening in. This episode, though, will be a little bit shorter than, you know, the recap or the preview episode. You know, we're not going to get necessarily in deep as every weight, but definitely talk about some of the highlights of the weights and whatnot. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to make a mention, you know, if you know, to the kids that are wrestling, you know, like, we mean absolutely no disrespect by our picks. You know, I don't think we got any like outright people like angry with us, right? We had a couple kids message and say, hey, you know, I'm gonna prove you guys wrong, and that's great. We have no problem with that. I love it. Honestly, when I see that, it makes me kind of root for them a little bit more, like kind of hope I'm wrong, you know, because that kind of shows us that you are listening, and we definitely want to see you guys do well. We don't ever wish anybody poorly. I know that's sometimes a concern when people are doing podcasts. I don't want to do picks because people get mad at them. It's like, you know, I just want to reiterate the fact that we mean absolutely no disrespect to anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's all in good faith, fun, like I said. So, I mean, we'll continue to do so. And obviously, it gave you guys it was a good buzz. I mean, we got a lot of listens on both of the episodes that we did. So, we're obviously doing this preview or the recap episode. And then, actually, right after I get off this call, I'm jumping on with a few D3 college coaches for a preview episode of the upcoming Mideast regionals that are happening at RIT. So, be sure to listen into that one as well. But yeah, so we'll get into the D1. We'll kind of work back and forth, I guess, if you want, or just talk about some of the highlights in D1 and then D2 and the weights.
I say we just run through D1 and then run through D2.
Sounds good to me.
So, started off D1 101.
Yep.
Here we go. So, you know, my big takeaway from this weight class, obviously, Soto looked amazing. Dominated pretty much all weekend. But Tyler Conzo, if that kid gains 10, maybe 15 pounds, he's going to be an absolute problem.
Yes, he actually was drinking water. I mean, day one of the tournament to make the minimum weight class. So,
yeah, he's just so good.
Yeah, and I mean, he managed to get on the podium with an eighth place finish. But I mean, two of his losses came to DiCaprio, who was the 3 seed. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch him in the future.
So I'm actually happy that I chose to talk about Conzo and then Maneri in the second recap or the second preview episode. You know, we failed to mention them in the first episode, but they both got on the podium. And they're obviously still young, right? Conzo's an eighth grader, small. Maneri made the semis, beating DiCaprio in the quarters and losing 9-6 to Vass. But, you know, he took the kind of semi slide and took six. But yeah, Soto gets the first state champ, first of five for section 9 in D1 with an 11-0 major decision over another section 9 kid, Vass. So shout out to Soto. Yep. So we got 108. Cooper Murley of Newburgh goes back to back for Newburgh, winning a state and another state title for Newburgh. He won 1-0 over Denia Simbabana. And actually he reversed that because it was like 9-2, I think, at Eastern States Finals. So shout out to Denia, or shout out to Murley for, you know, writing that wrong at the Eastern States and getting the job done. But shout out to the ref too, right? I mean, the ref, yeah. I mean, in that scramble, that was impressive that he didn't make the call and, you know, kept them wrestling and whatnot.
Travis Fisher is one of the section 4 guys. He also is the youth coach at Tioga. The patience he showed, and I know there's a lot of pressure probably from the coaches screaming, that's two, we all do that. And to not make that call and to just kind of hold tight and let the scramble work its way through, not many refs are able to kind of stick through that pressure. So, and typically we're on here, banging refs and talking about how the bad their calls were. So it's, I just want to make sure we shout it out and made sure he knew that, he did a great job there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, don't get us wrong. In a few more waits, we're going to talk about a ref's decision, but it's all good. But yeah, so Murley, shout out to him winning the state title. He obviously had a close match in the quarterfinals against Gino Monta, winning 3-2, tiebreaker one. But I want to also give a shout out to Legala Ryan too, because he beat Sheridan in the quarterfinals. He pinned him, and he lost 6-2 at counties. But yeah, and then of course Keeney of Boston Spa went on a pinning spree in the backside. And took third, so shout out to Keeney as well.
So 116 D1, Evan Gersway, just an absolute tank on top. Just looked really, really good. Semis were kind of insane. Braden Kellison of Williamsville Northeast was up 3-1 on Cervino and got headlocked with about 10, 15 seconds left to lose by two. It was nuts.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Braden Kellison was one of my picks to make the semis. I don't know if I made it, had him to make the finals, but I know I had him beating Salazar in the quarterfinals, 2 seed, and he did 6-1. So, shout out to Kellison. He's still just a ninth grader. So, again, this was actually PSAL's first of 2 state titles on the day. Great to see that for Grisoy, who lost in the state finals last year to Satriano. So, yeah, that was a. It was good to see Gersoy, and I mean, he was dominant in the finals. I mean, he got a fall, a major decision, then major in the finals. So he had a great tournament.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, we saw it last year with him and Satriano in the finals. They're both really good on top, and we're about to talk about him next. So,
Yeah. So the next weight we're going to talk about is Satriano beating the two-time New York State champ Marlowe. So at 124, Valley Central, we get another Section 9 guy winning a state title. Yeah, Marlowe. I don't know what he did in the finals, but he was able to do like the same move, I think, two or three times
three
in
times.
route, three times in route to that major. And that first time I saw, I was like Marlowe, stop rolling across your back in this position. And then like, I don't know if Satriano just had Marlowe's leg, and I haven't watched it over again. And I was sitting on the D2 side for the final, so I don't know if he had his leg high up on his, and he kind of like shelved it and then stepped over, similar to like. I don't know, kind of like what Strachey did, how he got his leg hurt actually this past weekend. But yeah, I mean, it obviously worked. He got a 10-0 decision or major decision in the finals. But we both did call Satriano to beat Marlowe, and he did it. But I didn't see that in that fashion.
Yeah,
And
I definitely didn't either. I honestly left the building after 170 pounds, and so I saw PJ and I saw Satriano, and I still like I thought no doubt in my mind Satriano was gonna win MOW after the way he treated Matt Marlowe in the finals. I don't know about you, but I feel like more wrestling's MOW should be Satriano.
it is. I mean, especially since we called it. And yeah, more wrestling's MOW for the 2024 state tournament. D1 is Luke Satriano of Valley Central, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was impressive. We do have to talk about Dobbins versus Eric in the quarterfinals up top, though.
I do.
Man, right? So it's early in the match. They both take a shot, clean shot, and they knock heads. And then of course Eric's kind of the aggressor, so he kind of goes in a little bit more for the takedown, and he gets dinged with unsportsmanlike. And Dobbins obviously is running through his injury time, and obviously he's hurt, and he can't continue. So Eric loses by disqualification. And then of course he didn't wrestle against Marlowe, so Marlowe won in the semis by forfeit. But yeah, it's brutal to see that, especially Eric being a senior. He's a Binghamton commit. I mean, you don't want to see that for anybody, but I mean, hopefully Dobbins is okay, but it shouldn't have been a unsportsmanlike.
Yeah,
Or
so I have so I watched that video, man, way too many times. It was a big, obviously, it was a big talk of the town in Albany after the quarters, and I saw that Eric took a double leg, like traditional Jordan Burroughs double leg, and Dobbins down blocked. That's how I saw the video. And he down blocked, got his face in the way, like you do on a down block. But
Yep.
Eric was powerful. He drove through it and finished the blast double. And so my question becomes, in a down block shot situation, whose job is it to get their head out of the way? You know
I
what I
mean,
mean?
what's your
So,
line of defense? Your head, hands, and hips, and you're leading with your head. So it's not Eric's fault that that happened, you know?
right. So, like, I would love to talk to that ref. I mean, he's a Section 5 ref. He's very well respected in the officials. So I'd like to know what his opinion was and why he made that call, because I mean, the video shows absolutely nothing of unsportsmanlike or unnecessary roughness or anything like that. It was just two kids wrestling in a traditional wrestling position, and somebody got hurt. Like, it happens. So I don't understand why he made that call.
And Eric won by medical forfeit over Dobbins for fifth and six. But yeah, I mean, obviously Dobbins didn't continue at all, but it stinks. I think the ref actually that made the call listens to this podcast. I think he liked the preview episode. So, hopefully he does listen in and maybe reaches out to us and just tells us what he thought he saw. Of course, we watched it. You watched it several times. I watched it like twice. The ref saw it instantly, and he called it instantly. So, of course, if he was able to rewatch it, maybe he changes his call. And that's, I don't know. So, I mean, refs have a tough job, but I mean, that position, maybe reach out to your side ref and come up with a call. I don't know. I don't think it was necessarily right. And you don't want to see a guy lose like that, but fortunately, it happened. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Moving up
All
to
right.
131.
Yeah, D1 131. Joseph Clem Wontaw gets it done for the fam.
Yes, sir.
I think I don't remember if we picked it. I know I talked about it. I did want to see one of these two brothers win this weekend. And I mean it was cool to see one of them get it done, and the reaction from the crowd. And his reaction after it happened was a lot of fun to watch, and I'm really happy that he was able to get it done, especially after, the semis losses a couple of years ago where they both lost back to back heartbreakers. It's you always kind of like to see those guys who come so close every single time and fall short to get it done on their last shot.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I did not pick Clem to win this weight, but we did talk about Clem. This would be the best chance for a Clem to win a state title. Of course, he lost to Samson McSicka-Staley at the Eastern States. So Clem gets the revenge. And actually, Clem wrestled Nieto in the quarterfinals, and that's his sixth time this year that he wrestled Nieto, Jake Nieto of Plain Edge. So sixth time. I mean, it's hard to beat somebody twice in a season, let alone six times. But yeah, he got the job done 5-2. And of course, like you said, 2022, both Clems lost in the semis. 2023, they both lost in the finals. Of course, Joseph gets the job done for the family, bringing a title back to Wantagh. So happy to see that. I guess I'm happy to that. My pick was wrong, just for the Clems' sake, because they definitely earned that state title. Also, got to give a shout out to Taylor Burry of Saratoga, Section 2 kid. He lost 5-4 to Gugliano in the round of 16 before winning six straight to take third. And he got revenge on Gugliano, beating him 3-2 for third place. So, yeah, I mean, backside warrior for D1 would be Taylor Burry of Saratoga. Moving up to 138 pounds, PSAL's second state champ on the day, Evasov of James Madison, gets revenge of the Eastern States. He beats Luke Nieto, a Plain Edge. And yeah, I mean, I called it. I wanted to see the PSAL kid win it this way. He's tough. And I've seen, like I mentioned, I watched him at Eastern States, watched him at Fargo. He actually had a camera crew following him, not as exclusive, I guess, and not as big, I guess, so to speak, as Dania's was last year with Flow or ESPN, whoever was there. But he had a camera crew. So I'm kind of excited to see that, maybe they're doing a documentary on Evasov, PSAL kid beat the streets. So looking forward to seeing that whenever it comes out. But my pick at this weight was Cam Howard, the eighth grader. He lost to another Suffolk County kid in the quarters, but he did wrestle back and take third, I do believe. So yeah, he took third, beating Mongilio of Sayville for medical forfeit, actually, for third place. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember who I picked in this weight class, but I thought going into the finals that Nieto would win because he's when I was watching him throughout the weekend, he was really, really tough, and I really liked what I saw out of him. So when Vasov won, not that I was like super surprised, because I know once you hit the finals, anything can happen, but I definitely thought that Nieto would win that match.
Yep. So I was happy to see that.
Especially given the team race. I don't know if you were watching that at all, but the team race going into the finals was Plate Edge 83, St. Francis 83, and Minnesink 82.
Yeah.
So it was definitely big on the team score. I thought that would be on the back of their head a little bit.
Yep, I definitely watched that. I was keeping track of the team score as well. Yeah, it was good to see that.
So D1 145, Liam Carlin and Burnt Hills gets it done in the finals after losing in the finals last year. But I think the story here is the semifinals match between Liam Carlin and Deshaun Matthews. What it was dangerously, unbelievably close. And I don't think, I mean, Deshaun Williams is really good, or Matthews, sorry, is really good. And I don't think anybody really thought that was going to be super close. But ultimate tiebreakers, and Liam Carlin, I believe, chose top. No, Deshaun Matthews chose bottom in the ultimate tiebreaker. And not that I was like questioning it, because I mean, I'm not the coach, I wasn't in the situation, but watching the match, I didn't think that Matthews was ever really super close to getting off the bottom in the double overtime period or earlier in the match. So I and he wrote him out in the double overtime, which it wasn't close. Like, it was like Carlin was getting to his feet, and Matthews would drop down to an ankle or finish on the edge constantly. So the whole 30 seconds was kind of super close to Carlin getting out in double overtime. So the fact that he took bottom isn't super shocking, I guess, but I mean, I don't think he was anywhere close to getting out in the double overtime. So that's one of those situations where, like, you really don't know what the right answer is to choose. I don't know. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, a good decision. It definitely paid off for him, but I guess you don't know. I mean, I saw a few different things play out where it gets to that point, and they're, what do you do? Choose top, choose bottom, and some of the guys obviously chose bottom. I mean, I'm actually going to talk about a few weights in D2 that I saw. As soon as the kid goes down, they don't have any interest in riding a guy, which that's in regulation, obviously. But then we saw the same thing where, I think it might have been Cam Dorchester at 285, but like very similar. Like, when you get to the rideouts, I mean, cut the guy right away and go for a takedown. I don't know. Yeah, it was a great decision by Carlin. And of course, he gets the job done in the finals, beating another Section 9 kid. But yeah, I like this weight. I mean, I think I had picked, I can't remember who I picked down low to come out, whether it was Ketchum or Parker, but Ketchum, he had a good tournament. He beat the sixth place guy the first match by tech fall. And then he beat Tresh, who ended up taking third in the quarters. And then he beat Spahn, who took fourth in the semis. So he had a tough run to make the finals with tough guys, but he managed to get it done. But Carlin was just too good in the finals. Moving up to 152 pounds, where we got the returning New York State champ, the returning Shuey. How do you top off a Shuey? Cam Catchpole says asks. Well, it's a double Shuey. He did double barrel. Both shoes off the mat this time, so there's no mess. But yeah, he beat his practice partner and good friend, Griff LaPlante of St. Francis, in the finals 3-0. Yeah, but this weight, the semis, were tough, right? Catchbone had to beat a Fargo place finisher, Jason Quake. I don't know. I guess I forgot to ask the pronunciation on that. But he beat Quake Brentwood 6-3 in the semis. And down low, Griff LaPlante beat the 2 seed, Van Orden of Wantagh, 3-1 in overtime. To make this to finals. So Griff's only a 10th grader, so obviously he's young, and then Jason is a 11th grader. So those guys will be back next year as Cam goes on to wrestle at Michigan. I don't know where Jesse is committed to. I feel like I've read it somewhere that he was committed somewhere, but I don't know. But yeah, this weight was fun. Cam gets the job done for Section 6 and gets another
Yeah,
state title.
he's good. I mean, I did get some questions, and like, I don't understand why I was getting questioned, but they were asking like, why is Cameron ranked in the country? It didn't seem like he was blowing people out of the water, and I had to explain to them, like, first of all, Griffin LaPlante is really good, and as you mentioned, their teammates, they practice together all the time, and he also plays the Super 32 twice, so let's not question how good this kid is, because he's really, really good.
Dude, yeah, Griff's a stud. I mean, there I had no reasoning to believe why that match was gonna be, not gonna be close. Like, yeah, they wrestle each other all the time. I mean, I think Coach Hart, Stephen Hart, messaged me a picture of those two wrestling, practicing with each other Friday before states, like, a week before, almost a week before they wrestled. So, yeah, I didn't think anything of it. I do have to give a shout out to Moore of Division. To the 11th seed, he took sixth place. He was one of, I guess, dark horses or guys to watch out for that were seeded outside the top eight. So he wrestled tough. Moving up to 160, we
Yeah,
have,
so
yeah.
we have PJ Duke, the Duke of Albany, the MOW from NISFA, who scored what 82 points in 4 matches?
82 points in all 4 matches. Of course, two of them, well, the one of the finals was or the one of the semis and the one in his first match actually were both pinned. But looking at track, you can see how many points he scored, and yeah, he was racking up the points in all 4 matches.
So on my section, with my people, right? We were joking around, and I set the over under at 10.5 takedowns. Right? He
Yeah.
gets to his 10th takedown, and all of a sudden he's looking for the pin. So, at first I thought it was a really good line. Then he ends up with 13 takedowns. So he hit the over, but man, he's freaking good. He's gonna do
Yeah.
some things.
Yeah. 27-12 in the finals. Winner by tech fall. Like, it's just crazy. I mean, he definitely put up some points, and I don't know if that's the last we're going to see of him. Like I said, he might go to Penn State. I guess it's really going to be that bald guy that coaches at Penn State. I think Cale Sanderson's his name. It's going to be his decision. So if Mr. Cale Sanderson chooses to have PJ come to State College to train, at M2. You know what? That's probably what PJ's gonna have to do, because you're gonna have to listen to your future college coach. So,
You don't ignore the goat, you know?
no, you don't ignore the
Goat gives you an
GOAT.
instruction, you do it.
Yeah, seriously.
I
And
will
he,
say, PJ, you gotta get better on top. How you give up 12 escapes in the state finals, dude?
yeah, honestly, like, that's just crazy. You gotta get better at that. I do have to say though, one of my dark horses was one of the guys that I butchered his name, Konstantinos Koufalos of Iona Prep. He won several matches on the backside. I actually won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches on the backside to take third. Want to say he was he the 18th seed, 15th seed? I can't remember exactly what seed he was, but I wrote down like the guys that were seeded really low that placed actually pretty high. And he was pretty tough. I think he was 15th seed and he took third. I think that's what I wrote down. But
Yeah, it's a good call out.
yeah, shout out to him. I mean, I knew he was going to be tough, and he represented and he did well. So moving up to 170 pounds this weight, man, I almost called it. Sort of. I mean, I did pick Downs, the 4 seed, to make the finals over Jonathan Clossy. Sorry, John, but he wrestled tough. It was a 5-4 match. And then, of course, down in the semis, down low, Leo Vanablis of Carmel was actually down 5-0 against Gage LaPlante. So I hate to see it, because Flossie was actually down, I think, 4-0, something like that, against Gage at Eastern States, and Flossie pinned him. Well, I think Gage LaPlante was running like a cow catcher, hard and fast cow catcher type thing. And Vanablis kind of turned and hit him with a headlock, if I'm not mistaken, and pinned Griff or pinned Gage in the first period, minute 38. So, yeah, it's kind of a cow catcher gone wrong. I mean, he got a
Yeah.
first takedown in like 15 seconds, Gage did, and then he put him on his back, So, I mean, again, I think Gage was a better wrestler, but he just kind of gets caught, unfortunately. So,
Was a tight headlock. It was very tight.
yeah, I mean, Gage did wrestle back. He beat Flossie. He pinned Flossie for third and fourth, so he did get his revenge, and he responded. He's responded well for losing in the semis. But I think he's going on to wrestle at Armory West Point, if I'm not mistaken. So shout out to Gage. But I do have to shout out to Michael Schaefer of Lancaster. We talked about him. I actually ran into maybe his brother, or it's definitely his coach at one of the establishments in Albany, and he listens to the podcast and had great things to say about it. So shout out to Clint. Appreciate it. Schaefer actually took seventh, so yeah.
Yeah, I want to say good on Gage. You know, after he got pinned, he kind of ran off the mat. I'm
Yes.
not sure if he realized he hadn't shaken hands or anything like that, but obviously his dream just got crushed. So he ran off the mat, and then good on him for coming right back, shaking hands, and then walking off the mat. I mean, most situations you're probably not walking back to the mat. So,
No, Gage is he's raised right. I mean, obviously you're pissed in the moment, but he's got a good head on his shoulder, so glad to see that he responded well and came back to third.
Agreed. Moving up,
No sad boy hours.
sad boy hours. Yeah, we were talking about that this weekend a few times. Moving up to 190 pounds, the Diakomo Hellas, the only Diakomo Hellas left, Elijah. I mean, did his thing all weekend long. Win by major decision over Zachary Caldwell in the finals. I think we kind of said next topic on this one, and he did just that. He went next topic on everybody.
Yep, I do have to give a shout out to Zach Miller, sort of. I mean, he did beat Philippe in the quarters. I mean, I had Philippe making the finals, but he did beat Philippe in the quarters. And he almost had Caldwell beat. But Caldwell has that dog in him, and he got a takedown with very few seconds left in the match to beat Miller. And Miller was one of my dark horses as a six seed to make the finals. Yeah, he almost had it done. Got to give a shout out to Ryan Brown of Syracuse City Schools. 10th grader, he's been to Fargo the last few years. Good kid. He came out of nowhere. I feel I he was probably the seventh seed, I think. I had no, I didn't think he was going to place, but sure enough, he took top four. So that's kind of impressive for him. Moving
Yeah,
up,
second 3D1 did really well all weekend.
yeah, they did better than they normally do, I feel. So it was good to see that. Moving up to D1, 215, the Bolt Job, Coy Reigns. Actually, this is one of three state champs that are committed to Buffalo on the weekend, I think. But yeah, Churchville Chi-Lai gets state champ. This weight, Harrison Aguirre dropped out. You know, it was a scratch, so they bumped people down. So Tibbs goes down to the two seed. Variation comes from the top part of the bracket down, so he was a four, drops down to the three, and Variation makes the finals, losing 3-1 to Reigns. So. Probably, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I probably would have picked Brescia to make the finals. I mean, he's a tough kid. Another kid that I've watched at Fargo the last few years, and you know, he ends up losing 3-1 to Brescia, but he wrestled tough, so nothing to hang his hat on. I mean, one of my dark horses was Camden Bembry. He was the first match, returning state place finisher 2-1, but he did win a few more matches, and he was managed to get sixth place. So I guess I wasn't totally wrong on that pick. Oh, well.
Moving up, D1 285. I mean, who else other than Steven Moncherry went on an absolute tear? Just, I don't, did he have a close match all weekend?
No, I mean 43-second pin, 2 minutes and 27-second pin, 11-2 decision, and then he gets a pin in the finals against Section 8 kid. So no, not really.
Yeah, no, he's good. I'm excited to see what he can do going forward. Is he a senior? Where's he going?
Moncherry, yeah, he's actually committed to Buffalo. So him, Coy Reigns, and I think Moncherry's committed to Buffalo. And then
Crazy.
Braden Woodward. So those were the Buffalo commits.
Yeah, he's
Dorchester, my guy Dorchester Cam, he was a sixth seed. I had him making the semis. I had him making the finals against Moncherry, won't lie. And he wrestled tough. I mean, Petzold of Plain Edge actually lost to Belmonte at Eastern States. So I mean, I kind of just assumed that Dorchester not having wrestled at Eastern States, I think he, you know, could have beat Petzold, but goes to rideouts. And of course, you know, when you're heavyweight, if you score first, you're going to get choice in that very end period for the ultimate rideout. Well, Petzold scored first, and it didn't even get to that point anyways. But, you know, he rode Cam out. Cam ended up giving Petzold an escape, and then Cam tried to get a last ditch effort takedown to get taken down. So that's why he lost 4-1, tiebreaker one. But Cam's right there. He's a junior. But he wrestled tough. I mean, it kind of took a disappointing loss in the Concy semis. But yeah, Belmonte ended up coming back and taking third. So he took second at sectionals and then takes third at states for New Hartford section three. So yeah, I mean, it was a fun wait. Two Middletown guys get on the podium taking first and fourth. So shout out to Middletown, the big dogs. Wrestled tough for them. And obviously, that was another state champ, the fifth of five state champs for section nine. So good
crazy.
stuff for D1. Yeah. So D2. So we are back. So That is the this year is the first year, I think, since the split in 2004 that a D1 team has not won a state title in D1. Section 11's team, I mean, has not won a state title. So crazy stat. Suffolk County did not get the job done in D1, but they are going to get the job done in D2. So D2, 101 pounds, the state champ from Holland Patton, Andrew Giuliano, beats the senior Lunsinski of Newfane in the finals. I think this is why I love the weight. So we always talk about it. You know, this is the weight that there's not as many returning New York State place finishers at. So sophomore Andrew Giuliano took fourth last year at their class tournament. And I think he was 24 and 17 total last year. And then, of course, he goes on a run this year. He takes second at the sectionals, losing to Legalbo. So it was a 4 seed versus 5 seed. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was weird. He's Legalbo in the quarters, takes out McKee in the semis, and then Lucinski in the finals. Take a state title back to Holland Patton, the first since Hunter Richard.
Yeah, I want to mention the fifth and sixth place match, Wyatt Sartori and John Winsman. I think they simultaneously shot, banged heads, and then they both fell over and were not looking too hot. I think Winsman ended up getting taken out on a stretcher, so hopefully he's all right. Sartori, and he did get up and he did end up winning the match by default, but both of them looked pretty banged up after that, so I hope they're both all right.
I saw that as well. Hopefully they're good. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I was on the elevator with Winsman's dad later that night, and I guess I didn't realize it was his son that got hurt until after, you know, after the day kind of ended. And wish I would have asked him how his son was doing. But yeah, hopefully he's doing good. Thoughts with him moving up to 108.
Yeah, 108 D2. I think these semis were probably two of the best semis of the entire tournament. Maverick Beckwith ends up taking out Anthony Valls in double overtime. It's one of the ones you were talking about where with the double OT, I think it was 1-1 going into double OT. And Beckwith rode out Valls in the first set of rideouts. And then Valls cuts Beckwith to start his chance on top. And to give himself his put himself in his best position. And Beckwith does a great job of just holding on tight and wins 2-1.
Yeah, we kind of talked about this position at peewee practice last night. But yeah, it's you know, when Valls was trying to get the takedown, Beckwith did a good job of controlling his arm, not letting him get go behind. I think this was part five between the two gorilla grapplers, correct?
Yes, it is.
On the year, yeah. And another thing to note was Valls' coaches, Coach Ron and Dustin, I don't think sat down once the whole damn finals, and or
No.
went the
And
whole
you know
distance,
what,
right?
Dustin? And you know what, Dustin? You were right in my way of watching this match almost the entire time.
Yeah.
Almost the entire time. I had to like obviously like I can't move. I'm in the stadium and like I get it, you're coaching, but like dude, we're trying to watch the match.
The quarterfinals, Aiello, the returning state champ, beat Cole. So that was a rematch of the state duels. Well, Cole, you know, lost that match. He did go on a tear in backside at four pins, including a pin over Tommy Aiello for third place. So section three goes 1-2-3. Section four, excuse me, goes 1-2-3 at this weight. Pretty impressive, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, it was awesome. But we gotta go back to the semis because Beckwith and Aiello, that semifinal was insane. All the way to the ultimate tiebreaker. Both of them on in double OT rode each other out. Neither one of them even remotely close to sniffing an escape. So it gets to the ultimate tiebreaker and it's 0-0. And Aiello wins the flip and takes top, which everybody knew what was happening. And at that moment, I'm pretty sure the entire stadium was like, oh, Tommy Aiello wins this match and is going to the finals. It takes Beckwith less than 4 seconds to get a reversal. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know what had changed from double overtime or even earlier than that.
Regulation. Yeah.
But he figured out how to do it and he did it when it mattered most. And that was awesome.
Yep, I agree. And then of course Vols beats Barrientos 6-4 Sun victory down low. So yeah, like you mentioned, two great semifinal matches, and the finals did not disappoint either.
Yeah, and Vols gave up the first takedown of that match too.
Yeah, that's true. Barrientos is tough. I knew he was gonna be, but Vols got the job done in the semis. Moving up to 116 pounds, this is the weight I wanted to talk about because I was right. My guy Dylan. So yeah, this weight, Darren Florence goes, he gets his third state title. But and congrats to Darren Florence. Great, looked great doing so for BJAH, another Section 4 state champ. But I gotta admit, the kid from Canastillo Greenwood, Dylan Depew Capadonia, makes the semis, and he was 13 seed, and beats Kimball of Camden, and then he beats Munns of VVS to make the semis, losing to Florence by pin. But I called that, and actually, I think Kimball's coach was like, "Damn it!" He's like, "He called it." I was like, I was right. I didn't call it because his name was Dylan. I called it because the kid's actually pretty good."
Yeah, he is.
And Brock Frederick in the finals against Florence, I honestly had a good game plan. It's kind of to weather the storm and give yourself a chance late. Maybe, obviously Aaron wasn't really that gassed, but I think in the first period he was definitely the aggressor. And then Brock Frederick tried to I think he chose bottom, or he chose neutral in the third, so he didn't even give himself a chance to escape. I mean, Darren's obviously tough on top, but he goes for a takedown with a minute left in the match, and gives up the takedown, manages to get an escape and a stall call, but definitely not enough to get the job done. But yeah, Brock is he's tough. He's a 10th grader. He'll be back again for sure for South Jeff.
Yeah, shout out to my man Lucas Hoffman. He practiced with us throughout the whole state preparation. And I had him in the finals. Obviously it was a little biased, but he did end up taking fourth from the seven seed. He had a great tournament, actually beat Dylan Depew in the Conti semis in a really fun match. I think it was 7-7 late in the third period, and it got into an over-under situation, and Hoffman just planted him on the edge, got a full five count to win the match. It was a really fun match, but shout out to him.
Yeah, and Hoffman's only loss came to Bellis twice. So, Section 4 guys. Section 4 guy. So,
Three
yeah.
Section 4 guys in the top four of this weight class as well.
Yep, pretty good. Yep.
And we had a guy who took fourth in the section who beat Bellis at sectionals.
Yeah, that's true too. He's
So who
tough.
knows where he'd have been.
Okay, so that was me again. D2, 124. Yeah, so I called the winner. The Virginia commit, Chase Nevels, goes back to back, taking care of his lone blemish on the year. When he lost to Noto 7-1 at Windsor. But yeah, Chase looked pretty tough. I mean, he beat Barrientos 7-1 in the semis, beats Noto 6-3 in the finals. And I did take some crap with this one because, yes, I picked Finn O'Brien to make the finals. I
I
actually
picked him
to
to win the
beat.
tournament. No,
Yeah, I don't think I had him beating Nevels, but
you
that was
didn't.
some of my North Country bias rubbing off on me. But yeah, to be fair, he was up on Hash and Haley 4-1 going into third, but he kind of shut down. And props to Haley because he wrestled the full match and he gave himself a win hitting that dump, and he ended up getting the pin. And then two, he shut everyone else up, who thought O'Brien was going to win that match. And it's kind of funny because I rewatched the match and Mobile Skills coach yells right at the top. He's like, "Write that up or write that off, New York News." And I thought it was funny because he could have been talking about us too, but he's blaming New York News, so not us. Didn't say more wrestling, so that's great. But
Haha,
Haley
Josh.
almost,
I said, haha, Josh.
yeah, exactly. Good work, Smitty. Just kidding. So then Haley takes out Noto. He almost takes out Noto. He secured a last second takedown in regulation to make it 3-3. And then he ended up losing 5-3 in overtime. But Ashton was right there to beat Noto in the quarterfinals. But it's not where you start, it's where you finish. And Finn won six straight on the backside to finish third place. And returning New York State place finishers De La Penta and Edwards lost in the blood round. So this weight was clearly fun because few New York State place finishers did not even place. So
Yeah, I
shout out
gotta
to
say,
Chase Nevels.
Christopher Noto had the coolest thing in the entire state finals.
It was a good one.
It was awesome. I thought it was
Yeah.
fun.
So I saw it when I think he wore that one at Windsor. Even though I did not see him in the finals at Windsor, I actually had to watch that match on the road. But yeah, shout out to Chase Neville's for the second state title, and good luck down in Virginia.
131 pounds, Division Two. Your New York State champion, Gavin Mangano of Shoreham Wading River, over Jaden Duncanson of Tioga by fall. As you mentioned, the way you beat Jaden Duncanson is do not give him a chance to be on top, and Mangano did that very well.
Five takedowns, you know, five takedowns, and he never let Duncanson get on top of him once. But shout out to Carmine Calamari of Southwestern. I definitely had Rooks beating him in the quarterfinals, and he took care of business, pinning Rooks in the quarters, and then he pinned Rooks for third and fourth. But to be fair, I did think the seventh seed was pretty tough, and, you know, Rooks obviously took fourth. So shout out to him. Yeah. Moving up to 138 pounds. This was the funnest weight, I think, D2. Braden Farbach, returning state champ from Mount Sinai. He wrestled a tough tournament. He had a state finals rematch with Gillings in the quarterfinals. He won 4-2. Then he takes out Grimsey 4-2 in the semis and beats Silvestri of Tioga, Gianni, 6-5 in the finals. So, big thing in this was Farbach was in on a shot. Gianni was kind of draped over top. Farbach's pulling down on Gianni's leg. Kind of goes into a figure four position. I honestly didn't think it was that much of a figure four, you know, compared to like an intentional figure four, so to speak. So 1 point for Farbach in the first period. Then Farbach gets a takedown with like 19 seconds left in the first period. Gianni's not able to get away. So down 3-0 right away, was clearly not great for Gianni. But he managed to wrestle back really tough and he gave himself a chance, but Farbach, the App State commit, you know, wrestled a solid tournament.
Yeah, I mean that figure four or scissor or whatever it was the difference in the match. And
And Gianni's smart enough. Like he knows you can't figure four the body, and he that clearly wasn't intentional, but you know, crap happens in a match. Shout out to Gianni though. Semifinal win was a rematch against Jocelyn, who beat him last year in the state finals. I think I called it like Gianni was gonna be ready for what Jocelyn was going to throw at him, and Gianni held him off, beat him 5-2. So,
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
how
fun.
about, I mean, returning state finalist Aiden Gillings taking eighth place is kind of
Yeah.
mind-blowing a little bit. Like, just shows you how tough this weight class is and how much better some of these kids got throughout the year.
And Grimsey beats Bishop 9-2 on the front side, and then he beats him again on the back side for third and fourth. So, Grimsey's a junior. We're going to get to see him again next year. Jocelyn, I think, is going to Army West Point. Silvestri is going to Clarion, Farbach to App State. So we get to see these guys at the next level. Looking forward to following their careers as they go forward.
Yeah, so I mean, I know he won the actual OW, but Farbach is definitely my OW for D2.
Yeah, we'll talk about who my MOW is when we get to him.
All right. Division 2, 145 pounds. We got Casper Stewart, Fargo All-American of Attica, Batavia, winning his first state championship over Kieran Cullen of Greenville, 4-2.
Yeah,
This
so he
is
gives up an escape and a stall point late in the match to make things interesting. Because I mean, he was up 4-0, and you know, 4-2, Bill Cullen's right in there to give himself a shot to get a takedown and send it to overtime. But Casper held him off, and you know, got that state title. I think it was Attica to Batavia's first state title. It said, or maybe Batavia's first state title, but you know, obviously it's a combined school, so to speak.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Tyler Rose quarterfinal. Probably, I mean, it could be argued that it was the best match of the entire weekend. 15-13 decision by Rowe. He got a takedown with 53 seconds to go in the match, and then it was Kyle Barber of Bayport Blue Point got an escape with 21 seconds left to tie it. And Rowe ended up with another takedown with 4 seconds to go to win the match. He needed five takedowns in the third period to win, and he went and got it. It was just unbelievable.
So Rowe had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He had seven
Seven
takedowns.
takedowns.
So if he had seven takedowns and takedowns were 3 points instead of two, that's 22. And Kyle only had one takedown, so that would have been 14. So Instead of winning 15-13 by taking him down 7 times and only giving up takedown once, he would have beat him 22-14. So 3-point takedowns, maybe we should do that too, because
Major decision.
yeah, exactly right. That's
Goes
changes the
from a
whole.
2-point win to a major.
Yep. So you talked about Rowe. I'm going to talk about his teammate, Deacon Bailey. He lost to Aiden Buttery of Newfane early in the tournament, but he managed to wrestle back, and he was a 12 seed, took 6th. So shout out to Deacon as well. Moving up to 152 pounds. Weight kind of hurt my heart a little bit. So my guy Vandavian Way from Governor makes the semis for the 3rd year in a row. 3rd year in a row wrestling Saturday morning on one of the middle mats. That's kind of a good problem to have. But the thing is, he's lost all three. He loses this time to Tavian Camper, another North Country kid from Copenhagen, 5-4. So he was in on a shot late. Takes them down, maybe 20 seconds left, 25 seconds left, and gets a takedown, and then like kind of tries to dive after him. I don't know if he even heard. I got to talk to him over again, but he dives after him. Tavian gets his hips out, gets kind of a go behind reversal, and Tavian gets, so he was down 3-1 or 3-2, gets a takedown. It's up 4-3, and then gets a reversal, gives up a reversal, and loses 5-4. But he was right there, gave himself a chance late, but Camper then gets the job done against Bellis in the finals, winning 4-3. And that wrist snap that he did early in the match,
Oh my
filth,
gosh.
filthy. I went back and watched that again. That was filthy. I got to give a shout out to Tavian Camper. Bellis, though, Bellis is so Camper's going to University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, and Bellis is going to Penn. So Bellis is obviously going to go on to do great things at Penn. Same with Camper. I don't know where Way's going to go next year. A couple of D3 schools that he's looking at, but yeah, weight hurt my heart. This weight hurt my heart, but glad to see Camper bring the state title back to the North Country, even though I do like Bellis.
Moving up, D2, 160. Usman Dunkinson, 3-time New York State champion, wins by technical fall in the finals, where his final should have been was the semis against his teammate Drew McCumber, where he won 8-3. McCumber comes back and kind of controls everybody to third place. Got
Yeah.
made in the Conti semis and a 6-0 decision in the third. I mean, kind of sucks that your teammate is the second best kid in the state, and you had to wrestle in the semis. I bet you that would have been a pretty cool feeling for their team if they were wrestling in the finals. But Usman's just, he's good, man. Really, really good.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Robbie would have made the finals, but kind of loses in the semis and then drops down and loses in the Conti semis, but he does take 5th. But yeah, I mean, Maycomber wrestled a solid tournament, and he probably could have made the finals if he was down low. So I agree there with you. Moving up to 170 pounds. So yeah, this weight, Buffalo commit Braden Woodward, 2 clutch takedowns in the finals against Charlie Foster. The first came at the very end of the first period, like 4 or 5 seconds left. It's a very short time. And then the second came with 30 seconds left in the match. So Braden, in the end of the match, Braden was doing good. He had a rush in. He had baseball grip on the hand. Staying in good position, controlling your wrist, slowing Charlie down. Well, I don't know if the video starts to lag, but I don't know if Charlie kind of takes a shot with one hand, trying a desperation thing. And there was 30 seconds left, and Braden kind of hits a go behind and gets a takedown with I think 20 seconds left in the match, but to seal the victory. But yeah, Braden Woodward went crazy. Braden's brother went crazy on the in the stands. Yeah, so Braden's bringing a state title back to Palmec. Drew Gates loses to Lampson in the quarterfinals, but wrestles back, takes 5th, coming bringing a state or a state place finisher back to or Governor along with Way. So
So
this
Woodard's
this
kind of a 2-time state champ because we named him the Mo Wrestling state champ last year, right?
yeah, that's true. 2-time New York State champ, Braden Woodward. 1-time Moore Wrestling state champ. 1-time NISWA state champ. Yeah, shout out to Charlie though. Charlie wrestled tough, majored the returning state place or state finalist McDonald in the semis, 13-4, before falling to Braden in the finals. Moving up to
D2, 190, we got Grayson Meek over Tavion Hoos, 5-3 to win the state championship. I know we kind of had a crazy picks here. Mine definitely got blown up. So Yeah.
So this was another one of my let's go and make a bold prediction that went wrong. And I definitely might have ruffled some feathers with the picks, but I picked Mullis to beat Hoose, which wasn't a bad pick because, like I mentioned in the preview episode, Hoose beat Mullis 6-5, I think. Or no, 7-4 at Eastern States, but it was close. I think it was 5-4 or something like that. But then he beats him 6-5 here in the semis. But Hoose almost didn't even make the semis, or Mullis almost didn't even make the semis because McCombs was up on him 5-2 or 5-3 in the first period. It was 8-8 before Mullis pins McCombs in the quarterfinals. Then down low, Grayson Meek of Cold Spring Harbor pins his way to the finals and gets revenge on Hoose from last year's state championships finals, and beats Hoose 5-3. And when Meek was on top of Hoose, he wasn't running him out of bounds. Hoose was running out of bounds. And if you know, you know, because that's what some crazy person in the stands was yelling next to me. So, yeah. If you know, you know, though. So, I mean, I'm not going to say anything more than that. But yeah, shout out to Grayson Meek, Cold Spring Harbor. Not revenge, but they're both going to be back next year. So, hey, let's run this way back. You know, Meek's a junior. Hoose is only a 10th grader. So, good luck to both of those guys. Moving up, 215 pounds. You live by the sword, you what? That's right. You die by the sword. So this was one of the picks, weights that I picked, Solano and Allen, to make the finals. They didn't even place. But I mean, they're both returning New York State place finishers. So it wasn't a crazy bad pick. Up top, I should have went with my gut. Sean Kelly, the one seed. He was right there in the semis against Trim, the eventual state champ. Was in on plenty of shots, just had to finish one of them. And he did not. He ends up losing 3-1 in Sun Victory overtime. But down low, I told you Dominic Jones was going to try to toss you, and that's what he did. The two seed Ostrom was in on Jones's legs like once, and Jones digs in a whizzer and then digs in an underhook on the other side and just stepped in and sent him. And then in the quarterfinals, he locks up with Allen, and same thing. He jacks up an over and under, brings him up, tosses him on his back. Place goes crazy. But smart branding move. I gave Dominic's coach of Mount Markham a more wrestling shirt, and I gave him a shirt for himself and then for Dom as well, or whoever wants to wear it. But good
That's
marketing move
fun.
on my part.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. 285.
285. So this is where the mayor of Albany made his mark. We'll talk about the finals in a minute, but more importantly, Hamza Merrick went on a roller coaster of a weekend
Yes.
because he was just locking dudes up, spinning them in circles, throwing them on their back, and just having some fun because the whole crowd got behind this dude when he was on the mat, locking up double overhooks and just going at everybody. All he was looking for was to throw you. He was bet what rather throw you than know you was his motto all weekend long, and
He
it
had
was a lot of fun.
four pins in 3 minutes and 16 seconds. And let me tell you what, this kid might have to come back to Albany in May because WWE SmackDown is coming to town and he knows how to entertain a crowd. So he is the most electrifying man in the MVP arena this weekend and potentially the most electrifying man to enter the MVP arena all year until we see him again next year because guess what? He's a junior and he's coming back next year and the crowd's going to go crazy for him again. But he got cooled off a little bit in the quarterfinals because section four, it's Troy Beeman, a 10th grader, beat him 3-2 in tiebreakers. So Beeman was the eventual state champ, beating another Wilson kid in the finals, William Workhoder, 9-4 sudden victory. So yeah, shout out to Beeman, who was a state champ on the football field and now a state champ in the on the wrestling mats.
Yeah, and if you guys know anything about Beeman, those state titles are huge. His family had a pretty big accident over the last 6 months or so. I'm not gonna get too far into it. If you want to look it up, you can look it up. But just it's a really cool moment for him and in the Waverly wrestling community. So shout out to all of them. I'm sure they're all probably still celebrating here on Tuesday.
Yeah, as they should. Shout out to Windsor's 285 pounder. He was actually, like I said, on 215 for most of the year behind Dom Weaver. He made the semis and, obviously made the podium. And he's obviously an undersized guy, but you know, he wrestled really tough. Dylan Cogswell, the seventh seed, who I had picked to make the finals. You know, he wrestled Werkhoder pretty tough. He lost 6-3, but Werkhoder is big. You know, I guess I forgot how big William was. And again, William's a 10th grader, so he's gonna be back for the next few years, and you know, he's gonna put on size and he's gonna get bigger. And yeah, he's tough. I mean, I don't know what he was necessarily thinking. I thought I maybe he thought he was his teammate and he just wanted to go out there and toss Beeman in overtime. But like,
Yeah.
you didn't necessarily need that, you know?
Yeah.
Could have went
Didn't.
to rideouts and whatever.
Yeah, it didn't make much sense to me either.
Yeah, because he got the first takedown on Beeman in the match. I mean, if you go to the ultimate rideouts, you get choice top bottom. Like you give yourself a chance of figuring out what you want to do. But
Right.
you live and you learn, and I'm sure you won't make that mistake again. Yeah, overall, I gotta say the floor access needs to be on both ends of the arena. Walking back and forth is just dumb. We got to figure that out. There's no reason why we can't put a corral, the D1 corral down on the D1 side, especially now that the weights, the mats are split back to D1 on one end, D2 on the other, and put a corral or put a floor access on both ends of the arena. It only makes sense.
I gotta get into the Tioga a little bit. They brought 10 guys at 10 state place finishers, obviously only one state champ, but they broke the previous New York State record by 53 points set by previously Tioga from last year. So,
Dude, they went one for, so they had 10 place finishers. They had four finalists. Obviously, it's bittersweet because they only had one champ. But the six seniors that they're losing, I think the four guys that they had that are returning are still going to outplace the, or, you know, still would take first place as a team. I could be wrong. I looked it up. I think they're losing like 120 points of that championship team.
what was it, 212?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that was obviously big. I got to also shout out,
Mm-hmm.
or, you know, we already talked about Suffolk County not getting a, having a state champ on D1 side, you know, first time in 20 years. So it's crazy. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great weekend. I'm, you know, looking forward to next season already. But of course, NHSCAs are coming up. Fargo, like we got freestyle and Greco starting. So hopefully some of these kids, get on the mats in the freestyle and Greco and, you know, give yourself a chance to do better next year at Albany. And yeah,
So
it was
speaking
fun
of
though.
next year, are we gonna have girls on Thursday?
Girls on Thursday. We'll get into that. I mean, the state's still deciding what they want to do with everything as far as going freestyle or what they want to do. But yeah, we'll definitely have another episode about what the logistics will look like and whatnot going forward.
All right.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it. That's a good hour of a recap episode. And like I mentioned, jumping off this call and jumping onto another call to preview the Mideast region. There's teams that are competing at RIT this weekend for the D3 Mideast regionals. Top three at each weight get to go to Wisconsin for D3 nationals in a couple of weeks. So plenty of New York guys to go root for. So listen
Shout
to
out
that.
Zach Levy.
Yes, sir. Shout out Zach Levy, Ox Gang, baby.
Let's go.
Yeah, so episode 97, almost 100. Episode 97's in the books. Appreciate you guys for listening, and peace out.
Peace out.